That is my Barbie.
You kind of are weird.
I was going to save that for later.
You're very direct.
I'm totally
very funny. Barbie. You're cut. Yeah.
Sometimes there's some stuff on my face.
Listen, I actually think there was a little carrot on my lip that I just. Life as a mom, entrepreneur, wife, friend, and human is a lot. Join me, Katie Jacobs.
And me, Brandy Chandler, every Thursday as we have unfiltered, hilarious, and relatable conversations about the ups, the downs, and the chaos of it all.
Pour a glass and pull up a seat.
Because you're always welcome at our table.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Welcome to beach. Well, this is the beach.
Beach.
Close your eyes and pretend.
I am beach. You want to have a beach off? I'll beach you off.
I forgot about that part.
I laughed so hard.
It was so good.
And my kids were just like, huh.
You're like, it's really funny, I promise.
Yes. Welcome to She Did What?
She did what?
She watched Barbie and lived to tell the tale. She is Barbie. Wow, that's actually one of my notes.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
So, okay.
Let's go. When and where did you watch it? What did you think?
You asked me to watch it about 45 times because you were horrified that I hadn't.
I couldn't believe that you hadn't.
I thought it was a movie about a doll.
You're
like, I thought
so
it was
current with it.
I'd heard it was good. I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't know what I was getting into. So one Saturday morning after you bothering me about it, I watched it. I will never be the same.
So
my kids were kind of in and out, and my oldest was super into it to the point he got annoyed at the little boys for interrupting. And it was, I mean, I was went from laughing hysterically to sobbing uncontrollably. It was the most seen I have ever felt as a woman. Period. End of story. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me, where did you see?
Day it came out in the movie theaters with my nieces, 16-year-old nieces, yeah, and their mom. And it was the same. I laughed. I cried. Mm-hmm. I felt 100% seen, like someone finally got it right. Like someone was in my head, all the things I was feeling, and they got it out on paper.
Yes.
I just wanted to stand up and clap, which I think some people did.
They
didn't
mean,
in my
honestly,
movie theater, but I think I've heard of people doing that.
It was brilliant.
And we've watched it a gazillion times since.
Good.
All three of my kids, boys and girls, love it. I mean, the little one's just there for the horses, but we'll give her
about that.
A hall pass.
So was Ryan Gosling.
I know. Maybe the singing and dancing, too.
And that. The music was, everything was so good.
It was.
Can we talk about how brilliant Kate McKinnon is?
Which one's Kate McKinnon?
She's Weird Barbie.
Oh.
I think I'm saying her name properly. McKinnon. Can I say this? The film itself encompasses women.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote down funny, deeply feeling, brilliant, emotional, beautiful, logical, weird, both holding, being prophetic and reflective at the same time. Women hold that sort of balance, I think, in their souls.
The dichotomy.
Dichotomy of that. Complicated, diverse, direct. And then I can't read my last word.
Oh, okay.
But
good. It was
I just felt like the complicated state of being a woman is so directly narrated in this film. And it's just beautiful.
It is. And there have been other films I've watched where I'm like, oh, that's a great example of what I'm going through and things like that. But this just really nailed it on the head.
I agree.
I mean, they did such a good job.
So we have to talk about the monologue. And that's really kind of the genesis of this episode,
yes,
is that monologue.
Mm-hmm.
The monologue that America Ferrera has, where she is essentially trying to like hype Barbie back up. Like Barbie has like really just feels at her lowest low. And first of all, who has not had that conversation with a friend?
Yes.
Who has not had the build her back up conversation?
Okay. So you're building her back up. And I think this is seen in the movie. You're building your friend back up. But in doing her building, and you totally intend that for your friend, how much do you build yourself back up at the same time?
It's symbiotic.
Yes.
You're reminding yourself of your power and your femininity and your importance. Mm-hmm. And in reminding your friend, you're exactly right. You're building those own blocks. I think that's in mentoring of any kind, mm-hmm, as well that, yes, happens. I love to mentor because you're reminded. And you are doing that when you're building a friend back up, and it's just that reminder, mm-hmm, you've got this, you are incredible, you're brilliant, you can handle this. I know you feel like you can't, mm-hmm, I know you're in your darkest day, but tomorrow it will be lighter. Mm-hmm. It is always darkest just before the dawn.
Yep.
And the dawn is right ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
One of my dear friends, we were talking about the roof collapse at Cheeky and how hard that time was. And she gave me this magnet, and, I think it's Winston Churchill. If you're going through hell, keep going, you know? And it's like that, but that building, that reminder, if you're in the middle of it, if you're in the thick of it, whatever chapter, mm-hmm, of your life you're in, if you're struggling in high school, if you're, heck, in middle school, mm-hmm, up into, you know, being a woman with a very complicated life in your 40s and 50s, 60s, whoever you are, like, you're going to make it through this, mm-hmm, and you have the power and you have the strength, and it's within you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need to be reminded.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel both sides of that story. It's okay to feel the struggle along with the power. Like, it's not just going to be power 100% of the time.
If we never struggled, we wouldn't understand our power, yes, as completely and as the rocket fuel that it is,
yes,
to being a woman.
And if we never struggle, we will never be able to help other people. You know, we have to go through it so we can help other people.
Yes. And so that you can appreciate when the struggle is over,
mm-hmm,
and you can bask 100%. In the comfort and the joy of not being in the struggle, when you can take the gloves off, when you can shed the warrior,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and be soft again.
You're so good at this.
You're good at it.
That was great.
You're great. You're great too.
She's a big Barbie love fest.
I'm just following your notes.
That was great. And you know, there was a lot of banter about, is that monologue too blunt?
Oh, fuck off. Who said that? A man.
We have been not blunt.
What?
For long enough.
What misogynistic loser said and that monologue is too blunt?
Yeah, we're finally laying
Brand,
down
you did
the
not
table.
Hear that. Did you really?
Yes, I was reading
from
it.
Who?
All over the internet.
Get
articles,
let me
girl.
Adam. Let me at him. If you think that monologue is too blunt, you need to put on a motherfucking pair of high heels and walk one block in my shoes.
I didn't mean to get you so fired
up. That makes me so mad. Are you kidding? Too blunt?
I just want to make sure we were on the same page.
Brandy, don't start with me today. Okay. Let's read the monologue.
Go for it.
Okay. Also, the monologue made me want to watch Barbie because I hadn't seen anything around it. And then I sent it to you. I was like, this is in the Barbie movie. You're like,
I'm like, if you don't watch
Katie,
that movie,
if you don't watch that movie. All right. Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
No, you read it. You're into it.
I am into it. I'm very fired up. It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart. And it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be a part of this sisterhood. But always stand out and always be grateful, but never forget that the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but always be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory, and no one gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll just representing women, then I don't even know.
Should we applaud? Let's do stamps. That's good stuff.
It's just, and if you watch America deliver, it's just.
You did a pretty good job.
Chef's
You're probably
kiss.
Her understudy.
It's I'm like her.
So good. I mean, her what sister can without we say chops. To add to that?
Nothing.
That's it. There was nothing I would add.
I mean,
so
I think what the most poignant part, I think, is God, the whole thing.
I mean, really, like you can't take a part out. It's so good altogether.
I think we always have to be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong.
Yes.
I think back to when we were getting some feedback for our episode on looking back rear view. And I think that that's, I thought that that struggle was mutually exclusive to being this age and at this time of our lives. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that it is not.
No.
And that very young women are already feeling mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. where I don't think I felt that in my 20s.
Yes,
I felt
agree.
A lot of this.
I feel this now. I feel like looking back, I can identify places where I felt this in my 20s, but you know, now it's like a constant almost. I see it every day. And I don't think I quite realized, I didn't have a big enough grasp on it in my younger years. Even though I would see glimmers, mm-hmm. I don't think I saw the whole picture quite yet.
How do you think that comes together as you age?
Well, now I'm just like, it's like, is it me? Is it my midlife crisis? Is it, you know, something?
You think it's something within
internal,
you.
Yes. And then something like this happens. And I was like, this is all of us.
Yes.
All the time. And it's just so, it just makes me feel so good that this was so out in the open. So many millions, billions of people have seen this now. And you just feel a little more connected to other women and understood as a woman.
The ability to put such a direct correlation on the feelings you feel, and the questioning of it all. I think one of the hardest things about being a woman is the questioning. Mm-hmm. I think I was yesterday with a couple of women, and we were all women, 40 and 41, 40, 41 and 42. And we were talking about how we struggle to sleep. And it's not that like we get up to just, you know, run to the restroom really quickly and try and get back in bed and get asleep, because the minute we're kind of awake, the brain starts going. But so much of it, I think, is questioning. Mm-hmm. Was I a good enough mom for my kids today? Mm-hmm. I did fast food instead of cooking a home cooked meal. Is that going to affect, you know, I have three boys are very wild. Is that going to affect mm-hmm. their behavior tomorrow at school? Or did they get enough sleep? Was I a good enough leader at work today? Was I nearly a good enough wife on any given day, because I'm so exhausted by the end of it? Like mm-hmm. all of these, this questioning, and it can be very specific to the anecdotes of the day, but the constant questioning. And last year I got very tired from that mm-hmm. because I went through a hard time and I got really introspective, and I think you did too.
Yeah. And it's exhausting being that, you know, that internal dialogue. It wears you out, especially because you don't share it. And so it just builds inside of you, I feel like.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. And Barbie got it out for all of us.
I know.
I mean, it's so inspiring. I love it.
When she sits on the park bench and looks around at humanity.
And that woman, when she tells, "You're so beautiful," and that woman says, I know. She might be a bigger hero than Barbie. That was so good.
There's another moment. I wrote down, I watched again and took notes. And there's a moment where she goes in that room, and Ruth, mm-hmm. she says to Ruth, who invented Barbie and was also apparently a tax evader.
Hey, you do what you gotta do.
You know, Barbie sits down and she says, "Oh, I'm just a mess." And in that kind of wiser than me capacity, the mothering capacity, right? That like kind of archetypal mother. She looks at Barbie and she says, "You look just right." And I just, it's just so beautiful, that moment.
And that's what I love about it. There are so many beautiful moments that you observe in this movie. You almost can apply them to your life.
Well, it's just like, it's not about her looks in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the woman who has seen life and she is acknowledging, "I have been there and you look," like to me, she's saying, You're in the right place.
Yes.
And I know
you're doing just fine.
You and I have been there with younger women and you hear them saying, "I'm struggling," or and you say, and I think probably as I've gotten older, one of the best pieces of advice I can give a younger woman is, "You're in the right place."
Yes.
I know you feel like a mess. I know you feel like everything's wrong, or you're in the wrong spot, or you're in the wrong career, or, you know, you're making the wrong decision. You're in the right place. Mm-hmm. And when she looks upon her and says that, that's what it says to me. Yes. It's that, "I've been there, babe. You're good."
And I love that it shows that example, and hopefully other women will pick that up and do it for other women. You know, it's just such a great
showcase. We have to
showcase.
To survive.
Yeah.
We can't survive in this atmosphere without that. We need it because there is so much that will break you.
Oh,
that will break your spirit
every day,
that will break you down, and you have to have it. You have to have that sisterhood. Because without it, without that acknowledgement, we can't survive this.
It's so
in good. My opinion.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Well, thanks, Brandy.
You're in the right place, Katie.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry for sobbing.
No, let it go.
Always. Hey, baddies, it's your bestie, Katie. I wanted to remind you really quickly, we are going to have book club May 9th. Our May 9th episode is going to be all about the book, The Whispers. Now, you can head over to our Instagram at @podcastshedidwhat. Head to our link tree and snag the book there, or head to your local library, your local bookstore. This book is a twisty, turny plot about the lives of women who live on the same street in the same neighborhood and how everything goes down. It is such a good read. You're going to read it quickly. It's a lot of fun. So snag the book. A couple of quick trigger warnings. This book contains pregnancy loss, infidelity, and there is a child that's involved in an accident. So if you're sensitive to those topics, we'll grab the next book club with you. Cannot wait to hash it all out and have some fun. May 9th, don't forget.
So do you think Barbie is the movie? Is anti-men?
So you had asked me that question a while ago, and I really wanted to observe the movie through that lens. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason that I rewatched it last night. What I observed is that it is misogyny flipped on its head.
Yes.
It is everything we experience.
It's such an ironic flip. And that's what makes it so funny.
Yes. And is it like over the top? Yes.
I mean, on purpose.
On purpose.
Yes.
Because it's meant
supposed to be that
if it
way.
Weren't over the top, we might not
get
well,
it.
We would get it because
women
you're
would
not
get
used
it,
to
but
that.
But now everybody gets it.
That's
they laid it out so clearly.
Yes, Brandy.
I mean, they laid this out. Whoever planned and wrote, and I know there was a team, they did their job. I hope they got a big paycheck.
Well, I think they said, no, we got to take it a step further so people really understand. We're going to make it satirical and over the top and ridiculous because some people still might not get it.
And you know, it's so, what is that saying? You catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. Make it funny. Make it so funny people like it. And then the real things are going to hit them over
absolutely.
The head. And
absolutely.
And I think it was great.
The moment when they're rollerblading in the real world for the first time and Ken starts to feel like really
so
empowered. And no, Ken
Barbie's,
starts to really like the world.
Yeah, and
Barbie. And Barbie
so
is start. She's like, I feel
people
the conscious self. And she says, there's this great quote. She says, Yeah, I'm looking around. There's definitely it, what they're saying has an undertone of violence. It's like women that hit me over the head because women, we walk through the world, and I don't think you would have to get it to get it. Mm-hmm. That you walk through the world in. I don't want to go so far to say in fear, but with a general cautiousness of an undertone of violence, mm-hmm. whether it's me putting my kids in the car and I feel someone approaching from yes. behind, whether it's me on a run, whether it's my girlfriends and I out having a girls' night and some men approach us, mm-hmm. like whatever it is, there's always sort of this hair standing on edge. Mm-hmm, like I mm-hmm. am always tuned in to the threat of violence. Yes. And when she says that, it's a very, you know, just kind of off the cuff moment.
But it's very true, 100%.
But man, oh man, is that not true? Mm-hmm. The undertone of violence. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm not trying to say men walk. I mean, I have three boys. Like no. I'm just saying you are keyed in and tuned into that. If you've ever had an experience that yes. has made you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
In any way.
Yes. And that I would agree that that's not just for women. I feel like women definitely feel that more regularly. But I would say anyone who has had an experience like that is going to pick up on recognizing that kind of eye always looking out.
Yeah. Yes. And I would think that's, yeah. And you're so right for calling me on that, Brandy. I don't mean to make that just about women.
No,
that
is, you I'm didn't. Sure. I was just saying, I feel like it's for a broader audience.
And I think
women.
let's make this, sort of, we're talking about women today.
Yes.
There are going to be many people that identify yes. with many of the keys that we hit here
mm-hmm. and the topics.
But we're really speaking to women right now. And that just, it hit me over the head.
Well, and back to the anti-men thing, you made some comments about, you know, they made it so extreme so it would be funny. And then you had some thoughts on being extreme one way or the other.
I think that, yes. So
we might not have time for all the extremes today.
Extremes are, listen, life is lived in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak in black and white terms, but it's not going to resonate with most people because life is lived in these in-between moments in the gray areas. And I have found that it is very hard to get down with any extreme,
mm-hmm.
yes. whether it's misogyny, reverse misogyny, whether it's, you know, right now we're in, my husband's running for a very small local political seat on a commission and we're experiencing it. And in the way I said it the other day that I think is the only real way to describe it is that when you have two extremes, they kind of scream at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of people are in between those extremes.
Yes.
And what happens when people are, when people are screaming at each other?
You don't hear anything.
Well, you don't hear it and you just want to duck down and avoid
it. Turn it off.
And tune it out. So I think what happens with these extremes is that everybody's just hunkered down waiting for the screaming to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think if you're in an extreme, you feel empowered to get louder because everyone else is being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they like what you're saying
mm-hmm.
or like what's happening, but it's because
they're tuning you out.
It's a survival.
Yes.
You know?
And plus when you're on an extreme, you don't leave a lot of room for learning new information.
Oh, yes.
Applying that information, empathizing, sympathizing.
Curiosity.
You really block yourself out. And
it's
you
so
close
true.
Off your mind. So I would agree.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're funny.
But there is, and you have to think about like the yin and yang. Like mm-hmm. there has to be
some
give and take and some balance and some curiosity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and I think that's why I got so fired up when you asked about the monologue is too blunt. It's like, why can't you get something out of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of person thinks about that and says, just writes it off as being too blunt?
Mm-hmm.
There's not one single thing you could relate to as a human being in that monologue.
But I think until just recently, a lot of people would have thought that was too blunt.
Do you? Yeah.
I mean, we are just now, I feel like, getting to a place where we are not criticizing a dialogue like a monologue like that for being too blunt. And I think it's wonderful, but I think we're just now getting there.
Do you want to, would you like to talk about what you read about the movie?
Yes. So I was just reading an article on someone's take of Barbie, and they interviewed someone and she made this comment, and I wanted to give her snaps and applause because it was really, really good. And it boiled down to, the greatest hope we can have is that our daughters and future generations coming up will think, they will not get this movie. They will watch it and be like, I don't see what the big deal is, because so much has changed as we move forward. And if that was the goal of Barbie, I am so happy. I think that's a wonderful thing.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I hope that my, you know, God willing, I have, you know, granddaughters someday. Mm-hmm. And then they watch and go, you know, I don't get it.
I mean, I just love that thought. That thought had never crossed my mind until I was reading this article. And I was like, yes, yes, that's beautiful. Let's do it.
And let's continue to do this work.
Yes.
Of naming the struggle.
Mm-hmm. Be blunt.
I had never heard, and we spoke about it in an earlier episode, I'd never, I think in the B word, I had never heard anyone talk about the unseen load of being a woman for a decade.
Yes.
For 10 fucking years, Brandy.
But
for 10
also,
years. Think about that.
It's like once it pops up, it's everywhere.
Well, yeah.
And but that's so good. Like,
well, sometimes it's a little, okay, stop hitting me over the head, you know, but.
Well, hit me 8 million times if you're just hitting other people one at a time. I'll take a beating for the rest of them.
Okay.
Because it's spreading.
I get it. Word. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't mean it like that.
Yeah,
I think sometimes it's like, I'm speaking more to social media now, which is off topic, but just like, you know, oh, I like this. I interact with it. And then that's all you see.
Yes.
And that's sort of what I mean.
More in a serendipitous
yes, sort of way.
Yes, that way.
You're right. Okay. I got you now. I'm following along. I wanted to talk about one of the connections that, well, let me back up first. We watched over the Christmas holiday. I think it was like a Turner Classic movie or something. A movie called Houseboat with Sophia Loren.
I have not seen that.
It was fun. It was like a fun little whatever movie. But there's this part where Sophia Loren gets sexually harassed by this guy who comes over to the houseboat. And it's like in front of his wife. And it's like
a movie from the past.
Exactly. So that's my point. You watch this movie and you're just like, I could tell my kids are like, what the fuck? And I'm like, what the fuck?
What's going on right now?
But also like, yes, but also, you know, so I hope that in thinking about that movie Houseboat.
Yeah, that's a good example.
It's like, this is so bizarre, you know? I really
yes,
hope.
Yes, I would love that.
I really hope that our kids feel about Barbie the way I felt watching
Maybe
Houseboat.
Maybe we should start showing Barbie in school.
Maybe. Oh God! Now you're really going to open a can of worms.
I know. I'm joking, everyone. Most of what I say is just for fun. Don't leave me a voicemail about that.
Don't leave me a voicemail about anything that's not good. I'm just going to delete it. And no, I'm not going to.
I'll listen and then I'll delete.
We have to talk about, and I'm curious from our listeners, you and I, our 10-year-olds,
boys,
really liked this movie.
Yeah. Glued
to the movie. I was able to ask my son. I don't think you asked yours.
Well, I asked him one day and he just was not giving me anything.
Well,
he typical, just kind of looked at me.
It's kind of typical.
He
but
full kenned me.
He what?
Kenned me. He just like gave me a ken, blank stare.
Oh, ken. Oh.
Ken.
I'm like, what is kenning somebody? I don't know that. I'm getting all the.
No, he just gave me a Barbie doll ken.
Got it.
Face.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was saying, I'm not participating in the podcast, Mom. He's like, I know what you're after here.
The day that I watched the movie, JJ was like looking for something in the pantry that was, I could see it. It was right in front of him. And he's like, babe, just kidding. I said, okay, Ken.
We immediately
and he just died
started
laughing.
Calling men Kens every time they did a typical man thing
is so
after
funny.
This movie. And I still do it to this day.
That particularly was very funny. But why? Okay. So why do you think our boys?
I'm not sure.
Liked the movie.
I mean, I couldn't get much out of him when I was trying to have a conversation with him about it. But I wonder if they see these things in their moms and their big sisters and, you know, women around them. I wonder if they're curious. Maybe they just like all the horses.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That one fight scene.
Maybe
Alan.
They like the singing and dancing. I don't know. But he was definitely glued way more than I would have expected.
I was shocked when...
he has two sisters, so there's a lot of girl movie going on.
I was shocked
on.
When you told me you had the same reaction in your house, because I thought I was just like, oh, maybe...
I was shocked in your house, because you're all boys.
Yes.
I was like, at least mine's a little used to the girl stuff.
Yeah.
In his face all the time.
Just surrounded
but
by it.
Yeah, so I think there's something to that. If two boys from two very different households,
yeah,
you know, one's all boy, one's mostly girl,
mm-hmm.
We're really glued to it. I'm hopeful. I think that's a good sign.
I asked my son, he came down while I was rewatching last night. He had already been in bed. It was a late night anyway, because of a late baseball game, which someone said we need to do a sports episode, being a sports mom, but,
I would not be good at that.
I mean, it was a 7:30 start game. So of course, a very late night, whatever, whatever. Wait, was that yesterday?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't yesterday.
Oh.
My kids were just up too late. Anyway, so later evening, and my son was having trouble sleeping, and he kind of like came down and he said, "Mom, can I talk to you?"
At bedtime, every time?
Every time. And I said, "Of course, babe. Come on, talk to me." So he came and he snuggled up on the couch with me because I was too damn tired to go up those stairs for a 45th time yesterday. And, we talked about what he wanted to talk about. And then he wanted some of my dinner, which I was eating at, you know, 10 o'clock on the couch, or 11 or whatever, 10:30. And so I gave him some of my dinner. And then I just hit play. I was like, 2 minutes, you know. And I said, "Why do you like this movie?" And he got a little like, I think because he's seen me cry watching mm-hmm. it. And he got a little like upset. And he was like, "I don't know. I just like it. But he said, "But you sometimes cry when you watch it." And I said, "You know, buddy," I said, "I feel like when I watch this movie, someone understands me."
Mm.
And I feel very understood. And that's really important for people to feel like they're understood.
Mm-hmm.
And he got like a little, you know, it was also very late. So I think he was just like a little emotional because it was late. But I just felt like it was a really great moment between mother and son. I don't think he could put, I think it's funny and all those great things for him, but I think maybe there's some part of it potentially that he likes seeing mom connect with something
mm-hmm.
because we do. And I will say in a house that's all boys, we do watch a lot of, you know, Mandalorian and Star Wars and, you know, there's not a lot that mom connects with.
Yes. Yes.
So I do think like A League of Their Own is probably another movie where I always like, we watch that and the boys love it. And I feel, you know, I'll always get a little teary at parts. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and excited at parts. But I do think maybe there's a part of them that sees mom connect deeply with something and, mm-hmm. and maybe enjoys
yeah.
witnessing that.
I think
I'm giving a couple of 10-year-old boys way too much credit.
Well, I understand that. Well, think about it. Like if you hurt your finger and you cry, like I cut my finger one time and Josiah like burst into tears because I was panicking.
Oh,
it was with a big knife. But kids feed off of that.
Sure.
You know? So I think that could, there's something to that.
Yeah, potentially. I just thought that was a really interesting connection point
yes.
that I did not see coming.
Well, just in general, I was very surprised at the attention. I mean, seriously watching. So I think it's a good thing though. I'm going with it.
I'm going to go with it too.
All right. You ready for the big one?
Yeah.
What Barbie are you, Katie?
Do they have loudmouth Barbie?
Sure. You can make your own Barbie. This is Barbie land.
Okay, you got to go first.
Well, I think I'm weird Barbie. I think at points in my life, I have been stereotypical Barbie, but I'm pretty heavy on the weird Barbie.
You know what's so funny? I think you always look so incredibly put together and cool and chic, and your hair is always
weird
perfect
on the inside.
And your hair is always perfect, and you like don't like you glow You literally glow. Your I'm skin blushing. Is glowy.
You're so sweet.
And you always like, it's you makeup. Have a very calm, no, it's not. And you have a very calming presence.
Oh, okay.
And demeanor. You do. Like, I like being around you. I feel like you're very soothing to my very high key nervous system.
Man, I feel like my husband would say I'm like a wrecking ball.
Really? I'm sorry, Josh.
You bring out the best in me.
Pod wives. It's but so I think to give it a name, I feel like you do have that, like, you know, sense of like you always give this like beautiful picture of being being very, very, you got your shit together, you know?
Yeah, but I'm weird on the inside.
You are weird. And I like it. I couldn't be friends with you if that was who you really were. You'd have to have some weirdo so tendencies. Funny.
We're all weird, Barbie.
Aren't we? We're all, I think we're stereotypical Barbie, weird Barbie, skipper, all of it.
Also, I wanted to ask you, did you play with Barbies as a little girl?
I did, but they rode horses, which was awkward because their legs only go forward and back. So like my best friend, Katie, my Australian friend.
Broke their knees?
No, you can't break their knees. You break the whole damn thing. And then she'd be off balance. She really couldn't ride. So you'd like take their legs and like scissor them out and like try and like kind of like awkwardly shove them on your briar horse. If you know, weird horse girls, you know, and like have them ride around. And it was just, it never worked.
Well, you'd be happy to know they now make Barbies to ride, like come with a horse and they have bendable knees.
Thank God.
They still don't stay on very Mattel. Good. Thanks, Mattel. They don't stay on very good.
Well,
but it's a really little riding. Better. Baby steps. I hated Barbies. Absolutely hated them. Never played with them. Would not let my oldest have Barbies.
Wow.
My youngest loves them. And she has them.
Why? Why did you hate?
I don't know. And I feel like I would not wear pink for a long time, even as an adult, because it was just so girly and so Barbie. Like, I feel like when I was growing up, Barbies kind of had such a girly, negative vibe on them. Mm-hmm. And I was not into it. But now it's like, is that Barbie pink? Can I have that?
Like, oh my gosh.
The tables have turned. So I don't know what my hangup was. I was having breakfast with a friend this morning. I asked her if she played with Barbies when she was little. And she said they used to have a game called Gutter Barbie where they would cut their Barbie's hair off and race them down gutters together.
I know who this friend is.
Do you really?
Just by you saying that, I'm going to guess what friend it was off camera.
What does her initials start with? Her first name. Yes!
That tracks. I met her the minute I was like, I'm going to love you.
I thought that was such a fun story. Also, one thing we did not talk about that I want to mention before, hopefully we're not too long. When the America Ferrera character is sitting outside of the boardroom doing her designs, beautiful work. Inside, there's a whole room of men just sitting around doing nothing that are the executives making the big bucks. I also felt seen in that because in the job I used to have, so many times I would be dealing with a man. And even everyday life. I mean, I've seen this a lot in banking and some other industries. You're dealing with a man. The man is in charge. And when you need something done, he says, oh, let me go get Barbie to do this for you. Mm-hmm. So the Barbie's doing the work and the Ken is just hanging out, having a good time. I just thought that was an interesting, I liked seeing that visual.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, Will Ferrell is the dumb CEO.
He was a wonderful placement there.
The whole casting.
It was.
The casting was
bravo,
perfection.
Bravo, everyone. Involved in Barbie.
Down to Michael Cera being Alan. It was just so good. The whole thing. I mean, just watching that intro with all these characters, I was just like, this is hilarious.
It was so good.
Okay, so you're weird Barbie.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a Barbie.
You can be whatever Barbie you want to be.
Can I be broken knee Barbie?
Rides
the horse.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you'd be horseback Barbie.
Horseback Barbie.
Horseback fashionista Barbie.
Oh. Well, if you are horseback, generally, you know, if you get into it enough, you end up being a fashionista. It's sort of the lay of the land.
And Alan, I didn't know anything about Alan before this movie.
I still don't.
Apparently, he was could wear all Ken's clothes. He's my best friend now, but I didn't know about
him. God love the Allens.
Everybody loves Alan.
Who doesn't love Alan?
We've got the Kens and we've got the Allens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you people have not watched Barbie,
get your asses up on Saturday morning and watch
your community service and watch the Barbie.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
Or Brandy's going to come for you until you do. Trust me.
Forever watch the Barbie.
All right. Report back. Let us know what you thought.
Yeah.
If there was a moment that just really spoke to you, like we've talked about some moments that spoke to us, let us know. We'd love to hear them.
Or if your kids verbalize something with you, unlike ours.
I know, right?
Let us know what they said. I'm interested. I think this is going to have a big cultural impact for quite a while.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled by that.
I know.
Thank you all for listening. If you have any thoughts, we got our first voicemail last week. It was
and some emails.
Yes. And some The text, the messages on
Instagram.
On Instagram have been lovely and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And it makes us really, really excited to come record.
It is. We love it.
Thank you. Keep them coming. Keep being badasses.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Barbie. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and can't wait to share another episode with you next Thursday.
Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. To keep up with the latest, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Podcast She Did What. We'll be sharing updates, behind the scenes, and announcements you won't want to miss.
And if there's anything you'd like to share with us, whether it be a personal story or feedback on our episodes, you can leave us a voicemail at 762-499-2201 or head over to our website, shedidwhatpodcast.com. Also, feel free to leave us a review down below. We'd love to know what you think.
She Did What is hosted by us, Brandy Chandler and Katie Jacobs, and produced by Studio D Podcast Production.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Thursday. And remember, it isn't always easy, but it sure as hell can be entertaining.